What is up, young adults? Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Also, follow us at YA_PowerOfLove. And as always, thanks for tuning in.
Hello, young adults. Welcome to the Houston Young Adults Podcast, where we have the word of the Lord shared by young adults for young adults. But of course, this is for all people. The word of God is for man, woman, boy, girl, all ages, starting from infancy, going to elderly. So anyone listening and tuning in today, we thank you. We ask you to share, subscribe, like it, let us know how it is impacting your life. But all that to say is it's such an honor to come and share the word with you today. Today, I am going to speak on Proverbs 18, verse 21, and it is about the power of our tongue. The power of our tongue. Proverbs 18, 21. This is very popular verse, and you might have heard it before, but if not, here it is. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This scripture honestly changed my life the first time that I heard it. Not just the first time, but getting revelation on it, having an understanding, like Pastor Jesse's been talking on Wednesday nights, is really having the word come alive on the inside of you, and it's become real to you. You have an understanding of it. You can see it. It's been unfolded unto you. It's unveiled, and the mystery behind it, or the truth behind it, has become a reality to you, and you know it so well that you produce the fruit of it. And so what it reveals to us here is there's a lot of causes for death and life that people think. But what this word reveals to us is that the fruit, or what produces death and life in your life, is what you are speaking. It's the tongue. And it reveals to us that there is power in the tongue. Death and life are in the tongue's power. And if you think of that phrase right there, in the power of, you know, when you're in the power of something else, that means that you're subject to it. You're in subjection to it. You're controlled by it. We're under the power or under the authority of. So it says that death and life are subject to what we are speaking. We are subject to what is coming out of our mouth. And I went to go and study what that word power meant in the original language, just to see if it gave me any more insight about what it means to have what's the power of the tongue. And it says that word power could also be used as like the word hands, like it's used as the word hand in other scripture references. And it's like, when you think of it, death and life are in the hands of the tongue. That means it's the same thing. It's in the control. When you say, you know, I leave that in God's hands. That means I leave that to God's control, or I put that in, I trust the Lord with it. It's entrusted to a higher authority. And what the authority is right here, death and life, or where our life is going towards death or towards life, is in the hands of our tongue. So our life, if we have life in our life, or if we have death in our life, it's going to be birthed by what you speak. The tongue and what you say is very powerful. There is power in the tongue, and what you say will steer your life. What you say and what comes out of your mouth and what your tongue is speaking, it's going to give your life direction. And so this is such a powerful thing to study and to understand and apply to your life, because our tongue is so ready to speak. There's that scripture that David has in that spoke in the Psalms. He said, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. Our tongue is ready. It's ready to speak. It's ready to go. It is so ready to open up its mouth and let loose. And it's ready what? It says it's ready to write. It's like the pen of a ready writer. Our tongue is so ready to write the story of our life, to write our future, to write what is to come. And we learn from here and from the scriptures and other places, and we're going to hop to some of those places, that our tongue is what is going to steer our life. So with that, let's go to James 3, verse 2 in the Amplified. It says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, because there's some things in the Amplified that I like what it elaborates on, what it amplifies, of course, because it's amplified. It says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, never saying the wrong things, he is a perfect man, fully developed in character without serious flaws, and he's able to bridle and rein in his entire nature, taming his human faults and weaknesses. In the Amplified Classic, it says he is able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. And so this scripture, it says, when you're able to control your tongue, when you're able to bridle your tongue, you're able to bridle and control your whole nature. You're able to tame your weaknesses in your life. You're able to basically quench flaws and character flaws, and you're able to build up your character in Christ. And it uses that word perfect. It says you've become a perfect man. And I know Pastor Sandy talks about this. She teaches that word perfect, it doesn't mean what that word perfect means is that it means that you've come to a place of maturity. It means you're growing. It means you're developing. It means that you're showing the fruits that you are spiritually growing. When you are able to grow in such a way that you can stop saying things that you used to say, or now speaking things of life instead of the things of death you used to say. It's a sign and a fruit that there is spiritual growth in your life. So we are to be people that are aiming to tame our tongue and to control what comes out of our mouth, hold back the things that we used to say, and also make sure that we are speaking the direction of our life in the way that we want it to be. So, I mean, I know for some people, I know for me, there's some things I used to say that I don't say anymore. I make sure that if I get up out of bed, that the first thing that comes out of my mouth is not like, ow, you know? You might be thinking it. You might want to say something. You might want to, there might be a response to things that you want to say, but you've learned to not say them, or you've learned to correct yourself. If anything, you're correcting yourself and you're getting yourself to that place where you're not going to say that. Maybe the first thing you used to say was a complaint about something, but now you've learned to hold that back and instead speak life. And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. There were things you used to say. There were things that you used to talk about. I know when you start talking about things, Pastor Sandy talks about this too. You start talking about things and you start amplifying those things. What you magnify, what you focus in on, what you even meditate on, what you're thinking about, then you start speaking, then you start talking about them, you start talking, complaining about something to a friend, and then all of a sudden you weren't really feeling a certain way, but now you're talking about it and now you're angry, you know? You amplify things. So, you know, even before you even speak things, you might be meditating on those things. And then the more you're thinking about it, then you have feelings amplifying and arousing, and then you speak something and you regret it. So those are things that as we are maturing and as we're growing and as we're becoming more perfect in who we are in Christ, we're becoming more aware that what I say, what I meditate on, what I speak is just a snare of the enemy to get me in a place where I'm going to feel a certain way, think a certain way, and then you become snared. You become in a trap of the enemy. You got trapped by the enemy to get you to think on a thing, to get you to speak a thing, to give birth to life or death in your life by what you're speaking. And it's a trap of the enemy. But the Bible says we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So we understand that this is just a device of the enemy to limit us in our maturing, in our walk in Christ, to be a mature spiritual Christian. So whether we like it or not, you know, the Jesus spoke this. This was something that Jesus taught, and it still holds true today. He was the one that said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what's on the inside of us, what's abundant in our spirit, in our soul, in our heart, is going to be what is going to come out of our mouths. And so you might think like, no, that's not really what I feel. Like, I'm just saying that. Don't get deceived. You know, don't mock the word of God, because it actually is a direct, it is truth, that what is in your heart and what's in abundance on the inside of you, what your spirit is full of. If your spirit is full of the word, if there's an abundance of the word in your spirit, and your spirit is given authority in what's controlling you, that word is going to bubble up in abundance and it's going to flow out of your mouth. But if your mind is full of thoughts, or if your will is desiring to do what you want to do, or your emotions or your feelings are rising up, or your flesh is full of its own desires, of its own feelings, those things in abundance in your life and in your flesh and in your spirit and your soul is going to come up out of your heart. And so we get that truth on the inside of us, and we say, man, I got to stay guarded. I got to guard my heart. I got to guard my mind. I got to guard my spirit and what I'm putting on the inside of it. I don't want a dead spirit. I want a spirit that's full of life. I want a spirit that's full of the fire of God, which is the word of God. I want that fire to be coming out of my mouth, the fire that's going to consume anything that's coming my way. It's going to take care of things, and it's going to set me in the path that I want for my life. So we understand that. And we yield to what the Lord is doing in our lives by understanding these truths. So next thing I want to do, next scripture I want to go to is in Romans 8, verse 5. I'm in the Amplified Classic. It says, those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, that's us, are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. They set their minds on, and we seek the things which gratify the Spirit. The mind of the flesh, which is the sense and the reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. So the mind of the flesh is death, and death that comprises of all the miseries that arise from sin. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life, and it's peace, both now and forever. That is, because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. The flesh cannot submit to God's law. So it says in verse 8, so then, those who are living the life of the flesh, they cater to the appetites and the impulses of their carnal nature. They cannot please and satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. And that's what we have to allow the Lord to make so real to us. We have to understand that was me. I understand where I come from, and I understand where I am now, but where I come from is not where I am now. We have to understand the difference between the two. We're not still where we were. And so there's no control to get out of that place. We have been separated and set apart from our old, and we've been brought into the new. The Bible says that we've been translated out and brought into, translated out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the wonderful Son of love. And so we've been brought out and we brought into. So where we've been brought out of, we have totally been separated from. So that's why I love that verse. And ask the Lord, make it so real to me. We have to understand our new birth status, our new creation status. That's who I am. That's where I live. That's what I have. That's what I can do because the living Christ is on the inside of me. And so I'm going to get to that scripture, but I love that. This verse 9, you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the spirit. That might need to be your confession. I'm not living the life of the flesh. I'm not governed by my flesh. I'm not governed by my mind. My mind doesn't tell me what to do. My body doesn't tell me what to do. My spirit tells me to do because Christ is alive on the inside of me and his life is operating within me and it's flowing from within my spirit and it's going to every single part of my body. It's going to my mind and it's causing me to live in the life that God has for me. And I'm able to speak the word of God and to not speak death over my life. I'm able to speak what God has for me, his promises. And I'm able to do this because I'm not living the life of the flesh, but I am living the life of the spirit. And the life of the spirit is supernatural. It says, if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you and he directs and he controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ and he is not truly a child of God. If you are born again and you are of the Spirit and you are of Christ and you've been born of the Spirit and not of flesh, you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you and he is helping you and working on the inside of you. There is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is producing righteousness in your life. He is at work helping you. And we yield to him and we yield to his promptings. Romans 6, verse 7 in the Amplified, it talks about how we used to be in obedience to our sinful nature, but we're no longer in obedience to our sinful nature because we are in obedience to the promptings of the Spirit. That means the Spirit now is prompting us and helping us and allowing us to live the life that he's called us to live. Let's keep going in Romans 8. Verse 10, it says, if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also restore to life your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. One thing, you know, in terms of being able to speak the word of God, the Lord had to renew my mind. And one scripture I really stood on for the renewing of my mind, because my mind was full of junk. My mind was full of trash. My mind was full of wrong thinking. My mind was full of abundance of failure and weakness and not able to do what I knew I needed to do. It was just full of everything against the word of God. I had to go and clean it out, scrub it. I needed to let the washing of the word of God come and inundate it. But one scripture that I would say over myself and pray was Psalm 23. The Bible says that he restores your soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me besides the green pastures. He lets me lay down in the green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. He restores my soul. He renews my soul. He refreshes my soul. And you know what restores my soul means? We know our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So that means the Lord is restoring my way of thinking. The Lord is restoring my thoughts. He's restoring my mind, my will, my emotions. If your emotions are out of whack and causing you to speak out of whack, thank the Lord that he restores your soul. And that's by the help of the Spirit living on the inside of us, because the Bible says that if the Spirit who dwells in you raise Christ up from the dead, he will surely raise you up from that deadness that you once lived in. And let's these last couple scriptures, verse 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. We're not obligated to do what our carnal nature wants to do, to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. So the matter of speaking the word of God versus what our flesh wants to say, what is our mind wants to say, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is all a matter of letting the Spirit rule your life. It's letting the Spirit clean you out in your mind, clean you out in your heart, clean you out and put the word of God in your spirit to such an extent that You're not living in the dictates of your flesh and your mind anymore, but you are living a life of the Spirit, which is the supernatural life, the born again life, the life that is becoming more and more real to us as we are growing in the Word and in the Spirit. So we're not obligated to live that life anymore. It says you'll surely die because you're going to be speaking death. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are putting to death the evil deeds that are prompted by the body, you will really live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you're a daughter of the Most High God, if you're a son of the Most High God, the Bible says that you are led of the Spirit of God. Claim that. I'm led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is helping me. I had the Spirit of God working mightily on the inside of me, helping me to tame my tongue, helping me to control what I'm saying, helping me to speak life and no longer speak death, to produce the life that God has for me, to steer my life in the direction that I desire, to stop leading me into places of destruction, places of lack, places of poverty, places of failure, places of inability. But I'm speaking that I am able. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm speaking the word of God over my mind. The Lord is restoring my mind. He's restoring my thinking processes. I'm speaking the life that I'm a daughter of God, and I live the life of the Spirit. I have the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of me, dwelling on the inside of me, directing me, controlling me, prompting me, showing me the way that I should walk in. It's our redeemed nature of God that is becoming more and more real to us. It's Christ alive on the inside of us. It's the Spirit that's alive on the inside of us. It's making us more aware that God is inside of us. And I am able to do what I need to do. And I can control my tongue because he's alive on the inside of me. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It talks about what the different types of the fruit of the Spirit is, and one of them is self-control. You can read that in Galatians 5. It talks about all the gifts, all the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit that the Spirit produces on the inside of you. I like what it says in the Amplified. It says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the work which his presence within you accomplishes. So it's the Holy Spirit that produces self-control. And so you yield to what the Spirit is doing. Verse 24 in Galatians 5 says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line with our life in conduct controlled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help produce the life that God has for you. And that means the life that the Lord promises you, because you are speaking the right things and you're not speaking the wrong things, or you're not speaking death, but you're speaking life. The Spirit produces life. And it all stems from that Proverbs 18 verse. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. But man, I can't control my tongue. What I'm going into right now is the Spirit is the one that's going to help you guide and direct and steer your life in the right way. And just like anything in life, these fruits, this fruit of self-control, this ability to be able to guide and take your life where the Word of God says it ought to go, to produce these promises in your life by speaking, by confessing them, we have to put into practice. We can't just know these things and not do them. Just like if the Lord's placed, if the Lord's put these seeds on the inside of us that we can do this and we can speak the right things and we can control our tongue, that we have to put all things into practice and get better at them and grow and learn and become that mature Christian that James 3 talks about. You know, if you had a talent for cooking or a talent to be a soccer player, you have to develop that talent to get better and to improve it and to increase at it. You have to put into practice by actually practicing it, by training, by learning more, by learning from good teachers, by actually taking good skill sets that you've learned from instructors and applying it in your cooking career or your cooking class or your cooking skills or whatever, or even soccer, you know, sports, whatever. If you're a sports person in athletics, you didn't just show up on the field and like were an all-star. You might have had a good ability to do something, but then you sharpened it and enhanced it by practicing it. It was in you. You were born with it, but then you have to put into practice. And that's the same thing with all these things. We can do all these things. The Lord has made the way for us to be able to do it, but we do it by the help of the Holy Spirit, because he's placed these seeds on the inside of us. But we then have to go and put forth practice and controlling our tongue. So it's not hard to grow in it, but we just have to stop thinking that we can't control our tongue. I feel like you hear that a lot. Like, yeah, I need to work on that. But then you're like, oh, it's just too much work. I'm not even going to like try. Like, I just can't control it. That's just hard. And I want you to know that you're fully equipped, because this is the key to steer and direct your life. I know I'm talking about, the Spirit of God here, but it all comes from the understanding that you can do this, and this is the key to steer your life in the direction that God has for you, by speaking God's word and not speaking death, not speaking the enemy's plans, not speaking what you think your life is gonna, what's gonna come of your life, what your mind, what everything that's coming through your mind. You learn to stop thinking those things, stop meditating on those things, and to start speaking God's word. And I know this for a fact, that this works. It's not just something that I've studied and it's great, but like, this has been my story. I've gotten into bad situations, and I have a testimony of I spoke bad things of failure in my past, and I got myself into a deep, dark place. This was, you know, as I was learning the word of God, but then this, I didn't realize it at the time, but it's what got me into a dark place, a place full of fear, place full of anxiety. Back, you know, when I was in college, I spoke doubt and fear and failure over my life, but it was the same thing that turned my life in the direction that the word of God said. When I started realizing that my tongue was what got me into the pit, and I wasn't going to let the devil keep me in that snare and trap any longer, I was going to speak the God's word over my life and to steer my direction back into God's plan and his will for my life. Not back. I was still learning the word. I was trying to understand this is what came alive to me, is that my tongue can take me to where I need it to go. And I prayed in tongues a lot during that time. I prayed in the spirit. I prayed in a the language that I didn't know, because sometimes I didn't know how to pray. But the tongue is powerful, and it's going to steer and direct your life in the way that it ought to go. It's not right for us to have both blessing and cursing coming out of the same place, I guess. And that's what it talks about in James. It says it's not right. It ought to not be so that blessing and cursing come out of the tongue. But it does say in James 3, verse 4, verse 3, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they can obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large, they are driven by strong ribs, and they are guided by a small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. That is the same way for the tongue. Your tongue will lead you to places, to death, to destruction. It will also lead you to life. It will lead you into the promises of God. So we need to learn, and we can learn to control our tongue. We can learn to speak the right things. We have this ability on the inside of us, and the Spirit of God helps us. It is the life of the Spirit, the supernatural life of God, that helps us to stop speaking death and to start speaking life. You know, at the onset of symptoms, right when you just want to start thinking, man, okay, that means tomorrow I'm going to wake up and be even more sick. And then the next day I'm going to have the full-blown fever. And the next day I'm going to have coughs. And that's going to start for 2 weeks. And then, man, I have that thing. Your mind's already starting to take you on this rabbit trail. And I know whose mind, if your mind is anything like my mind used to be, or you still have to control it. At the onset of symptoms, that's when you begin to open up your mouth and say, thank you, Lord, that I have healing. I am healed. I have the health of God living and dwelling on the inside of me. It's sending health and life to every cell in my body, that every cell in my body is functioning in perfection, that you created to function, that you're speaking the word of God. And you're not claiming seen any form of sickness, at once you say, what are those stinking thoughts? I get that, cast that out of my mind in Jesus' mighty name. You're opening your mouth. Your tongue is actually speaking. It's not just like, you're not whispering it or like under your breath or like, you're opening your mouth and you're actually speaking it out loud, not just out loud in your head. I know I used to think that I could like pray in my head, and I was like, I don't know how I did that. I probably fell asleep back in the day. But you got to speak out loud. You got to open up your mouth and have verbal noise coming out of your mouth by your tongue. At the discovery of any bad news in your life, you reject it and you accept God's word says. Instead of worrying, you start to pray. Even in small things. You start in the small things and not in the big things. And you learn to start praying and open up your mouth even in the small things. And you'll start to do them in the big things. I know just the other day, I was on a flight and they were talking about how I was going to get delayed and how we might have to stay and I was going to get stuck. And you just start, when you start to hear about bad news, you start thinking, oh, I'm hungry. I want to get home. All these things. But at once I decided, good thing I have the Lord. I can call out to him. And so it was just a simple prayer. I said, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to get home. And, you know, I could start praying and, you know, commanding all these things in the road, in the air, the weather, and all these things. I mean, I didn't even know all the things that I could pray for, but my prayer was simple. I just prayed, Lord, I know that you can, I trust you. I have faith in you. I want to go home and I want to eat. And guess what? Within 4 minutes, the pilot came on. They're like, hey, they're actually letting people come back now. They just give us word, even though the weather is pretty bad, we're going to be the first plane to come back into Houston. And we're about to take off in a minute here. And so look, I prayed a prayer in less than 5 minutes, God turned things around. And so it was a simple calling out to the Lord, opening up my mouth and praying. And guess what? God can turn things around like this. And that's what we have to do. We thank the Lord for his word at work. We don't just sing that, Lord, even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And then you don't actually believe that, like, he's working when you don't see things, when you don't feel things. You know that when I speak the word of God, things are moving, things are shifting, and things are happening. And I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I don't even think and care that I don't see it and I don't feel it. Right now, the word of God is working. I don't care that I don't feel it. I don't care that I don't see it. I know that God's word works. What I speak and what I say, I can have, and it will direct my life in the way that I want it to go. So where am I at? I'm at 30 minutes. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up. I got to read this scripture because I got to read it. It's Mark 11. So we're going to go to Mark 11, verse 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That's where it all starts. You trust God. You lean not on your own understanding, but I lean on the word of God and what it says. I don't care if I don't understand it. I trust God. I have faith in God. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith, we understand. We might not fully grasp it, but by faith, we understand things. And so we don't lean on our own understanding, but we lean on God's word, and we have faith in him and what he can do and what he says to be true. Verse 23, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. What you speak and what you say, you shall have. So speak what you desire. Speak the word of God, the promises of God, the good things that God gives us, his benefits, his advantages. Speak those things. Don't speak the things that will take you into a place of destruction and death, the place that you don't want your life to head in. And let the Spirit of God help you to do that, because you can. And in this way, you are steering your life in the way of God's will, which is the way of prosperity, the way of goodness, the way that glorifies him in everything. So I pray that this message helps you, that you study upon these words and get them so in you, and that your life is steered into the good path, the good will that God has for you as you open up your mouth and speak life over it. Speak the word over it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget, you can always stay up to date with us and even message us on Instagram at YA_PowerOfLove. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next one.